Well, good morning. Glad you're able to join in hearing God's word today. As you know, the start of the Summer Olympics just started this past Friday. I don't know if you had an opportunity to see the opening ceremony, but the opening ceremony has, you probably know, is one of the most colorful, one of the most spectacular events to take place. Not just with the Olympics, but often just in general. It's one of the most fantastic shows. But in particular, for the U.S. and the U.S. Gymnastics team, competing for the U.S. women is Simone Biles. And as you probably know, Simone Biles is considered the greatest gymnast of all time. And she's competing in the all-around event as well as individual events. But the all-around event is where she really shines. U.S. women, over recent years, Olympic games have dominated the all-around events. There's been a string of U.S. women who have won the all-around events. 2016, it was Simone Biles. 2012 is Gabby Douglas. 2008, I believe it was Nastia Lukin. 2004 was Carly Patterson. And prior to that, in 1984, I don't know if you remember or you were around in 1984, that was the LA Summer Olympics, and that was won by Mary Lou Retton in 1984. But within recent years, in the 2000s, you could say, women's gymnastics have been dominated by the United States. But that domination didn't just happen overnight. There was this succession, or there was, if you can say, this passing on of the torch from one gymnast to the next, and leading to the domination of the United States in women gymnastics. This morning, we're not going to be talking about the Summer Olympics or gymnastics, but we are going to be looking at about what it means to pass on the torch or to encourage a younger person to fill the shoes that we've been in over the, whether it's weeks, months, maybe even years. How do you pass the torch? How do you continue, if you will, in greatness? So that, in a Christian context, God is glorified in and through us. What are the steps that are necessary to pass the torch from one person to the next? That's what we're going to be looking at today in our passage this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn. We're going to be looking at two sets of verses. The first is 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 and 21. And then we're also going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. And while you're doing that, while you're turning to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21, just a quick reminder that we're looking at the ministry of two individuals, the ministry of the prophet Elijah, as well as the prophet Elisha. And we've been focusing over the last several weeks and months on the ministry of Elisha. And this morning, again, we're going to be looking at and talking about the passing of the torch from Elijah as the prophet of God to Elisha as the prophet of God. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you haven't already, to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to be looking at verses 19 to 21. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. And this may seem somewhat familiar. A couple weeks ago, we looked at chapter 19, the earlier verses of chapter 19. That's where Elijah battles the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and then he flees the battle scene after Jezebel threatens him and God speaks to Elijah in the cave in the still small voice. And we didn't look at verses 19 to 21 when we covered the rest of chapter 19. You may have noticed, or perhaps maybe you didn't notice, this morning we are going to go back to those verses 19 to 21, and then also the passage in 2 Kings, talking about, again, passing the torch from Elijah to Elisha. So in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21, we see the call of Elisha, the call of Elisha to join Elijah in service to the Lord. Let me read verses 19 to 21 of 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, "So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?' And he returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him." Again, in verses 19 to 21 of 1 Kings 19, we see the call of Elisha to join Elijah in ministry service. Notice how it starts off at the end of verse 19, where we're told that Elijah comes, finds Elisha plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And then the end of verse 19, Elijah places his cloak on Elisha. Now this idea or this action of placing one's cloak on someone else, it wasn't just because Elijah thinks that Elisha is cold or, you know, he's shivering, it's raining, regardless of the weather. This idea of placing a person's cloak on someone else, it has a symbolic meaning, and that is of transferring one's authority and one's ability to accomplish whatever is needed to get done. It's a transfer of, you could say, power and authority to another person. So Elijah is showing his the transference of being a prophet or being a spokesperson for God from himself to Elisha. Now, from Elisha's standpoint, he's being called by Elijah to now join in this ministry of the Lord, to actually join Elijah to follow, if you will, in his footsteps. So Elisha is being called to step into this role of, at this point, it's an apprenticeship, I would say. It's being a prophet in training. How's that? He's being called by Elijah, or really by the Lord, to now follow Elijah in ministry, prophetic service to the Lord. It's a stepping in to a new chapter or a new beginning in his life. See, prior to this, Elisha's probably been working on his farm or perhaps a family farm. And I would guess, based on the text, that Elisha comes from a fairly well-to-do, fairly wealthy family, based on the fact that we're told in verse 19 that he has 12 yoke of oxen. He has this whole team. Most farmers, or if you are a poor farmer or barely getting by, you would be fortunate to have one pair or maybe even one ox. But Elisha has 12, indicative or indicating that, hey, he's got, or perhaps his family's got a good amount of money to purchase, to buy these ox. And yet, Elisha's being called by Elijah, or really the Lord, to leave his life, leave what he's doing presently. Yeah, you could say he's plowing ox, plowing with the ox, but his life and lifestyle of living as a farmer, and to leave it behind and to follow Elijah in ministry. And you could tell in verse 20 that he said, hey, you know, at least let me kiss my mom and dad goodbye. Let me say goodbye to them. And Elijah says, okay, fine. But again, there's this call to follow Elijah into ministry. And it requires Elisha to leave behind his family, his background, right? The fact that he's plowing right now with the ox, we're told later in the verse that he sacrifices, he kills the ox, right? And he allows his neighbors to eat in their flesh. Basically, he has this barbecue, right? He has this cookout. And he allows his neighbors to be blessed by the sacrifice that he's making. But it's Elisha's willingness to step into this role as an apprentice, or now has following Elijah in service to the Lord. It's a huge step. I would argue that it's a big challenge for someone to, in essence, say goodbye to their prior background, to their previous life and lifestyle, in order to step into this new role, this new chapter in one's life. Perhaps for some of us, it's like starting a new job or starting at a new school. Maybe our family has moved, or we've moved and we have to start at a new school. Or maybe we've transitioned from middle school to high school. Perhaps it's from high school to college. Perhaps it's from college to full-time work. Whatever it is, we're leaving, in essence, we're leaving behind. We're being called to leave behind something or somewhere that we're very familiar with, that we're very vested in, if you will, and to go somewhere or to start something new that we're not as familiar with, that we may not be as well known or known to us. Elijah is calling Elisha to step into this role, requiring him to say goodbye, to leave behind what he's known in the past. It's not we'll never see them again. Who knows? Maybe, I'm sure Elisha will, but I can't say for sure. But it's a willingness to let go of these things, to, in essence, give them up, to surrender them in order to follow God's call to wherever he is leading Elisha, or perhaps you. Because I do believe for some of us, as we start off, whether it's our new year in school, new year in high school, new year in middle, maybe we're starting high school, maybe we're starting college, maybe we're starting middle school, maybe we're starting a new job. It requires us to step into a new role. Maybe an academic school, and maybe a work-related, and maybe a new chapter in your life. We're getting married. We have gotten married. We're expecting a new addition to our family. Whatever it is, God is perhaps calling you to step into this new role or this new chapter in your life. And sometimes that's not easy because it requires us to, in essence, say goodbye. Right? Maybe it does mean an actual physical saying goodbye. Maybe it's more figurative or more emotional. But whatever it is, we need to be willing, like Elisha, to let go of our past, to at least surrender it to the Lord in order to move forward into this new chapter, a new call in our life. The second thing that's involved, that's needed or necessary in this, if you will, passing of the torch from one person to the next, is not only for one person to step in to a new role or a new chapter, but it's also necessary or needed for another person to step out of a role. And we're going to see that in 2 Kings. If you have a Bible, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. We'll turn there as well. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, where we see this process or this stepping out, and it's the call of Elijah to leave Elisha in ministry service. The call of Elijah to leave Elisha in ministry service. Or, as I said earlier, this idea or this process of stepping out. Let me read verses 1 to 7 of chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2 says this. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from there. And as they both were standing by the Jordan, Okay. So, we see in these verses the second step, and that's to step out. To step away or to step out. What's going on is that Elijah and Elisha, they're visiting three schools, or you could say centers of training for individuals in the prophetic ministry. Schools for the prophets, I guess that's the best way to describe it. Schools which Elijah and Elisha have set up over a period of perhaps 10 years. Gilgal, the first in verses 1, Bethel in verse 2, and let's see, the third in Jericho, verses 5. So these three cities or schools of the prophets, Elijah is visiting them. And these are schools which he and Elisha had set up to train individuals in this prophetic ministry of following God and being his spokesperson. And you could kind of say it's a how should I say, it's like a certain bands or groups, when they're retiring or when they're ending their musical career, they have what's called a farewell tour, and they tour the country, or they tour different parts of the city or the state, and they give a concert, you know, as they're saying goodbye to their fans. This is kind of like a farewell tour for Elijah, because he knows he's going, and Elisha also knows that he's going, because he's reminded by the different prophets that come out to greet them at these schools that, hey, you know that Elijah's going to be leaving. And you can kind of see the response that Elisha gives. It's kind of curt. It's like, hey, keep quiet. Yeah, I know. Keep quiet. And perhaps it's because Elisha knows that Elijah, his mentor, you could say his master, his teacher, will soon be departing or leaving. And Elisha has mixed feelings about that. Again, the passage doesn't say, but I'm going to guess, or I think it's likely, that Elisha feels a bit nervous, a bit anxious. The thought of Elijah leaving him. But let's look at it from the other standpoint, from Elijah's standpoint. Again, the second step of stepping out, for requiring or necessitating Elijah to be willing to step back, to remove himself from the scene. That takes more dedication and a willingness on our part than it may seem, to step away, to step back, to, in essence, retire from your present role. It actually requires a willingness, a humbleness even, on our part to do so. Because I think for many of us, maybe guys in particular, we often find our identity, our sense of worth, our value in what we do or who we are in terms of role or responsibilities that we have. And to step away from that role or that job, that vocation, or that responsibility is oftentimes a challenge to our sense of identity and self-worth. And so for Elijah to be willing to step back or to step out, to no longer, if you will, be the main prophet, requires him to be humble. Requires him to see the bigger picture, right? To see how Elisha and others will be benefited by his stepping back and allowing Elisha to step into his role as prophet of the Lord. What is needed by Elijah is a willingness to be humble, to see the bigger picture rather than looking at it for his own sense of value or worth, rather than looking at it short term. What am I going to do? You know, who am I if I'm no longer serving in this role? But to realize the bigger picture, that this is for Elisha's good and well-being and growth, that I step back and allow Elisha to step into or step in this role. Perhaps for some of us, God is calling us or even challenging us to be willing to step out of a role or responsibility that we've had or we've been involved with. I'm not saying that we drop it like a hot cake or hot pancakes and just dump it and just say goodbye, you know, I'm out of here. I'm not saying that at all, that we just abandon what we're doing and just leave it half cooked and half baked and just letting others clean up the mess. No, but perhaps God has been calling us. And I do believe that when God calls, he gives us time to think about it. It's not just drop everything, leave and go. But I would say that more than likely, you've had this sense for a period of time that God has been calling you to step back or to step away from something or perhaps even someone. Perhaps he's calling you to go somewhere else to do something else, right? And it's your willingness to step back or step out from what you're presently doing. The third step in this process of passing the baton or passing the torch is this willingness to step up. We've talked about how someone needs to step into a role. We've talked about how someone needs to step out of a role. But now we're talking about someone stepping up in what they're doing. Taking something in addition to what they're doing. Taking on, if you will, more responsibility or perhaps authority. This idea of stepping up is found in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. Let me continue reading. It says, "Then Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water. And the water was parted on one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you.' And Elisha said, 'Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me.' And he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so.' And as they went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, 'My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.' And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, 'Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?' And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over." In these verses, verses 8 to 14 of chapter 2 of 2 Kings, we see how Elisha steps up. Stepping up into this call to succeed Elijah in service to the Lord. This set of passages, in essence, it's a beginning of Elisha's ministry to the Lord. Elisha's ministry minus Elijah there. Elisha is now serving the Lord, but he's serving the Lord without the accompaniment or without the company of Elijah. It marks the end of Elisha's apprenticeship under Elijah. But at the same hand, it also marks the beginning of Elisha's ministry apart from Elijah. So while there is an end of Elisha's apprenticeship under or with Elijah, it also marks a beginning or the start of Elijah's ministry apart or alone from Elijah. This third step, stepping up, again marks the end and it also marks a beginning. And oftentimes when we step up, when we are willing to invest or commit to a challenge or a call that is laid before us, that perhaps we sense God calling us or challenging us to step up into this role, into this position, whatever it may be. It may be in our church, maybe in our secular job, maybe in our school, maybe in our family. When we are willing to step up, it often marks a beginning of something new, as well as perhaps an ending of something. For Elisha, as he steps up into this role, there have been 10 years prior to this point that have happened between Elijah and Elisha, where you could say Elijah had been investing, had been grooming Elisha for this role 10 years prior to this, so that when the time came, Elisha would be ready to succeed Elijah in his role. Many of you know that prior to coming to South Bay Chinese Gospel Church, I used to serve as an English pastor at a church called Chinese for Christ San Jose, which I had the privilege of serving there for, let's see, close to 17 years, just more than 16 years, not quite 17, let's just say 16 and a half years. But I had the privilege of serving as the English pastor in that church, and I saw that church change in many ways. Individuals change in that church. Individuals grow, not just physically, because serving 16 years, you see people grow from children's ministry to middle school to high school to college. You see, of course, high school students, when you first get there, go off to college, start working, get married, even have kids of their own. You see the whole gamut. And one of the biggest steps, if you will, that occurred during my ministry service at Chinese for Christ Church occurred in 2005, 2006. 2005, 2006, that marked the time when I was able to take what's called a sabbatical of rest, a period of rest, an extended period of rest that is given to someone in ministry service to the Lord, in which they have a time of just being able to recover or recuperate or being refocused in their call to serve God, apart from their day-to-day, week-to-week role in the church. So you kind of look at it like a vacation, right? But it's, sabbatical is much more than just a vacation. But anyway, 2005, I started my sabbatical. And that is when, some of you know that I had my brain aneurysm at the beginning of 2006. So my sabbatical stretched into 2006, had my brain aneurysm. Then after I had made a recovery, or recovered as best as I could, I should say, restarted my ministry service or pastoral service at Chinese for Christ Church later on in 2006. But I'll tell you, when I came back to serving at CFC or Chinese for Christ at the end of my sabbatical, and after having suffered the brain aneurysm, I saw tremendous growth had taken place in people's lives. Not just growth physically. Yeah, sure, some of them had gotten taller. Some of them maybe had put on weight. Some of them maybe looked a little older. But not just more than that, more importantly than just physical growth, if you will, was I noticed that people had grown spiritually during my time on sabbatical. And even though for me, honestly, on a skill level, I would say that skill level, I came back worse because I had suffered that brain aneurysm, which had really messed me up mentally, physically, perhaps even to a degree spiritually. But yet, I found that many in the English congregation had grown quite a bit during my time of sabbatical. And I believe it's because when I had stepped out or stepped away from serving at the church on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, it necessitated or it needed or required many individuals within the English congregation to step up into roles and responsibilities, which prior to that, they were not that involved in or invested in. My stepping away or stepping out allowed them to step in and step up, if you will. So that when I got back after my sabbatical and after the brain aneurysm, I was amazed. I was able to praise God for the growth that people had experienced in their lives as a result of my stepping away or stepping out. When, as a result of really God growing them in their role and responsibility, not just to do certain things, but to love Him in their relationship with Him. And perhaps for some of us this morning, God is calling us to step up. Not just simply to do more, to take on more responsibility. I'm not talking about that at all, because I don't believe that God calls us just to take a job, just to keep busy, just to do something, but really to step up in our role and responsibility, if you will, to love God and to love His people. I think it is a responsibility, but I would say it's a more than that, it's a privilege to be able to serve the Lord. God doesn't need us. You know, God can do everything, anything on His own. But He gives us the opportunity, the privilege of serving Him, being used by Him as an agent of blessing to other people, to those around us. Ultimately, not just for our good, but for ultimately His glory. And for some of us this morning, I believe wholeheartedly that God has been calling you, challenging you, perhaps even comforting you to be willing to step up in some way, shape, or form. Step up and perhaps take a new role. Perhaps take a different role. Perhaps have a different attitude in our role that we're presently in. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank You, God, that You are a God who is not just great, not just awesome, but as gracious is good, Lord. You don't need us. You don't need us to do anything. You could do everything. You control everything. But Lord, that You allow us, You invite us to be used by You, be part of Your plan and Your purpose. Not so that people could look at us and say what a great person or wonderful person we are, but so that people will ultimately praise You, recognize You as a good and gracious God that You are. So I pray, Lord, that at the end of the day, really, that it's our willingness to step up or maybe even to step out or to step in is not for us, but ultimately for Your glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hope to see you soon. God bless.